Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now, let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts, Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
Aloha and welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month we are talking about senior services, and in studio we have Amy Gangloff and Jocelyn O'Neill with Hale Nohea. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, so our Kupuna families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leon,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As I like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
And now we have our real estate tip of the week brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
Maintaining an accurate, timely, and permanent record system for title to real property is the responsibility of the Bureau of Conveyances. The Bureau examines records, indexes, and microfilms over 344,000 regular system and land court documents and maps annually. They also issue land court certificates of title, certify copies of matters of record, and research UCC requests. Hawaii is one of two states in the nation with a single statewide recording system.
Well, Andrew, that sounds like a real complicated process for recording title.
Well, they have a lot that they have to go over.
Yeah. Well, for more information on how to handle title for your real estate, contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 753-9033. Well, today we have the pleasure of having Amy Gangloff, the Executive Director and Administrator of Hale Nohea, along with Jocelyn O'Neill, co-owner of Hale Nohea. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on our show.
Thanks for having us, Brandon. And
well,
Andrew.
Yeah. Well, Jocelyn, we wanted to start off with you. We know that you helped to start this fabulous adult residential care facility. And maybe you can share with us a little of the history and the roots behind Hale Nohea.
Thanks. Yeah, sure. Hale Nohea was founded in 2008 by both my mom and myself. My mom, Pat, is a nurse anesthetist, and she had retired from the medical industry a few decades prior to raise kids. And after I graduated from college and started my own career on the mainland, I think it was a ploy to get me back to Hawaii.
So she said, daughter,
let's start a business. I would love to start a care home. And I had a very deep connection with my grandparents and loved being around Kupuna and just being involved with talking with them. And the more research I started to do with regards to facilities in Hawaii, I realized there was a gaping need for memory care, specifically focused care for a small group of people.
Right.
Hale Nohea is a high-end luxury adult residential care home, or a type 2 residential care home, servicing 8 residents exclusively.
Wow.
And we focus on memory care. So all of our residents have some level of memory care issues, either Alzheimer's or dementia. When we bring a resident in, we bring them in at a care home level. And the reason we do that is so that we can keep them till end of life. We are licensed to keep them through end of life, so we work in conjunction with hospice. And you know, we want our residents to have the peace of mind that they can live the rest of their life with us, with the caregivers that they know. There's continuity of care.
Right.
And it's a beautiful home, but most importantly, we have amazing, just wonderful and loving, caring staff.
Wow.
And that's what makes the home really special.
So you started in 2008.
Correct.
And it sounds like it's going wonderfully.
It is.
Are you at capacity right now?
We are.
Yeah.
We are at capacity.
But how long has the longest resident been with you?
Gosh, 10 years.
10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
Near the beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
Near the beginning. She came in right right after we open. So she's part of, I mean, really, they become part of our family.
Right.
And Thanksgiving, we invite all of our families up, and we do everything from scratch. And it's just wonderful. So our families feel like they have a community as well. And, you know, when our families come, we want them, it's an open door policy. We want them not to have to worry about bringing diapers or supplies or anything like that. Our goal is for them to come, enjoy being with their loved one, and just spend time. Some of our families come, well, before this COVID situation, some of our families came every day. Some of our families are international, so we, you know, do Skype, FaceTime, things like that to keep them in touch. But there's always loving staff around, and we have a very structured day, so our residents know intuitively over time what comes next, and that, that really helps with anxiety and behaviors as well. So,
so this vision for Halenohea, was it always in your and your mom's mind to have, you know, exclusive high-end memory care and, you know, design from the ground up? How did that all come about?
Well, we knew that it would be a specific type of person that would be looking to come to our home. We are not a match for everybody. Our residents have specialized needs. And in order to care for them properly, we needed to have appropriate number of staffing and safety measures in the home that we do. We have built into the home.
How many staff members would you have at, you know, there at one given
time? So in the mornings, we have three on for eight residents. And that does not include Amy, who she actually resides on property. She's our RN executive director. She manages the staff, trains, schedules, fills in when she needs to, but mostly is there in a management position to make sure that the residents' medications, ordering, communication with the doctors, all of their needs are met. Because their care can be complicated. So we have lots of different specialists that we seek out to help us in providing the best level of care for them.
Now, I'm thinking you said you have eight residents.
Correct.
In the morning, you have three staff.
Oh, yes. Get back to that.
So, but it sounds like an amazingly high ratio of staff to patients.
It is. It
and,
is.
Wow. I mean, is there anyone else who does it this way?
There might be, but I'm not aware of it. Typically, that's pretty high staff to resident ratio unless you're getting in-home care, which is a completely different model. So, you know, it's very, it is difficult to care for people who have memory care and only give them 5 minutes of your time or 10 minutes of your time. Oftentimes, if they're having a moment, you have to redirect, you have to spend time. And having more staff on allows us to have the time to do the grooming properly and the care, the ADLs and the feeding, the cleaning, all of those things that take place every single day.
So you'd say a lot of those everyday activities are probably tended to a lot more. Or with greater attention than if you had, you know, 30 other adults being cared for.
Correct. And and some places have higher functioning residents where they don't need as much assistance. Some of our residents, you know, are completely ambulatory and can do a lot of things independently. We always encourage independence, but, you know, because of their condition and the nature of their disease, it's degenerative, so we need to continue to monitor constantly. And that's something that you can't do unless you have dedicated staff.
Well, Jocelyn, we want to continue to hear more about this fabulous home. It sounds wonderful. But we're going to have a quick commercial break, and right after that, we'll hear from Amy Gangloff.
She's great.
Okay, don't go away.
We'll
be right back.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because, as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we in the first segment, we just had Jocelyn O'Neill. She's the co-owner at Halinohea. And, you know, I want to bring on Amy Gangloff. She is the executive director and administrator at Halinohea. And Amy, I want to, you know, Jocelyn, she painted a very nice picture of the facility, the home. But where is this home located?
Oh, hi. Yeah, so our home is located atop Manalani Heights in Kaimuki.
Nice.
It's got a really lovely view. Like, yeah. It was designed to have really big windows, so we can see Diamond Head, the Honolulu skyline, Palolo Valley, and it loops around, and we can see the Kola Mountain Range, too.
Ah, excellent. I can vision it now. Yeah.
How big is your interior of the home? It's about
8,000 square feet, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
It's huge. Yeah.
Well, you know, Jocelyn kind of touched upon it. You know, when someone enters your home, they stay with you till the end. What's that like? I mean, can you describe the different levels that you folks offer to keep them there?
So normally we encourage people to come in at a care home level, which in non-paperwork terms means that, you know, they can walk, they can feed themselves, they can do mainly those basic things on their own. They can't do it completely independently, which is why they're rated as care home level. Mm-hmm. So once they come into us, we have 5 dedicated beds for that. And we save 3 of our other 8 beds for people that would transition into more levels of care. So as their dementia or Alzheimer progresses, you know, sometimes they forget to eat, sometimes they forget to walk, or their short-term memory is so faded that they need more direction in all of those areas. Mm-hmm. So once they transition into that area, you know, the doctor will say we need to redo what's called a level of care evaluation, which is a form that rates, you know, how they do physically and then how they do mentally and how much time they need to go to the doctor and with medicines. And based on that form, they would be rated as like expanded level of care or what some people call skilled nursing facility. Mm-hmm. So once they hit that level, we would move them to our expanded care bed. Mm-hmm. And from there, typically people, depending on how degenerative their disease process is, if they need hospice services, we don't tell the family, you got to take them home. We say, you know, we'll work with whatever hospice agency you would like. Mm-hmm. And they bring all their supplies, they bring their nurses, their staff, and then they join us in taking care of them. Normally, they don't have to do that much extra, but it's a nice social calming environment. It also prepares the family for, you know, what might be the end.
Right.
And then all the way up until the end when they take their final breath. I mean, we're there so often, it's not uncommon for one of us to personally be in the room with them.
Right.
But that's basically
I like the fact that, you know, they're there, they know the staff, they know the people there, the other residents, right? So the fact that they don't have to, you know, when they need to transition to hospice, that they go to a different environment, right? They're already comfortable, right? You mentioned, you know, you folks are there. They're there. What is their daily kind of activities like, or what is the, you know, daily routine like, right? Obviously, you have meals prepared, but what kind of activities goes on at the home?
So we have a very structured day for them. You know, we get them up in the morning. We run through what they normally would do at home. and we try to schedule the day for them so to cut down on confusion and things that might cause overstimulation, which would lead to dementia type, you know, behaviors that people think about, you know, getting agitated, yelling, maybe hitting. We don't like the hitting, which is why we really focus on their structured day. So in the beginning of their day, you know, after the morning routine is done, we try to physically engage them. So we do some type of exercise and we have lunch. Then we have a scheduled rest time for them. And then after that, we try to mentally engage them. So if they're able to, we'll play like bingo, maybe do arts and crafts to decorate the house, talk about current events. And if the weather permitting, we could take them out into our garden, look over Pololo Valley. And if it's the right season, they might see some butterflies out there because we have ground flowers in our garden. And then the rest of the day is a really calming, you know, after activity time, which it's, although we say it's highly structured, it is personalized to each individual because some days people might not be able to do it. So we might run multiple activities at once, or we might give someone a little more rest time. But it's based on this overlining structure of, you know, the outline of their day, and we try to have them follow with that. So then, like how Jocelyn mentioned earlier, their bodies are more aware to it.
Right.
So we don't tend to get a lot of yelling at our house. It's very peaceful, more laughs, and, you know, every once in a while it happens, but it's a typical day for them.
And you know, do the families get involved, you know, when they come and visit, or how does the involvement with the families take place?
So we tell the families, come whenever you want. Don't worry about feeding them. Don't worry about toileting them. You come. If you want to bring a meal with them, that's fine too. We'll set aside a different part of the house where you can enjoy that time with your loved one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to go out with them, just let us know ahead of time so that we don't have any scheduling conflicts with their normal schedule. But it's basically like an open door. Like, if you want to come hang out with your family, we're more than welcome. We just, you know, call ahead and we'll get it all set up for you.
Oh, Amy, that sounds so unique.
Yeah.
I wrote down here, it's like a family-oriented community. Really, I mean, open door. Come on in.
Yeah.
You know.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
It's really, I mean, most of my experience, actually my only experience in caregiving has been through Holly Nohea. I've been with them for the last 6 years. And, you know, I've interviewed and I've hired a lot of people through the years, and they all say the same things, you know, oh, this place that I worked at before, like, we were always overworked, or, you know, they didn't have enough time, or, you know, we were running around, or they would send us to all these different places, but they really enjoy the environment that we have. I mean, some of them have moved on because they're moving into, like, nursing careers or, you know, family situations, but we have good retention for the people that stay with us for the reasons.
Because of the environment.
Yeah, it's a good environment.
What are some other advantages you have to having this high caregiver to patient ratio, aside from attention and being able to have these, you know, close-knit relationships? What other advantages would you say that provides?
I say the best advantage is being able to work as a team, because you know, I mean at a normal care home they probably have a higher patient ratio. Instead of like 1-8, they might have more than that.
Oh yeah.
But if I did 1-8 versus 3-8, you know, there's a lot more attention going around. Like, if I'm in the middle of doing something and I hear something going on, I can turn to my partner and I go, hey, I think I heard so-and-so, they might be moving around, would you go and help them? So with that higher ratio, it cuts down on falls, so safety isn't as much as a problem. And if you're able to engage with them throughout the day, it really makes their whole day quality. So, we know we want to give them that quality of life. The aging in place with us isn't like it's not a bad thing. Like, we might be a dementia and Alzheimer's care home, but we're here to give them the best quality of life that they can. Doing that is so much easier with, you know, a staffing ratio like that. Right. And that's the other thing people have told me, is that they've taken care of way more than just 8 people with 2 other partners. They're like, oh, when we come on, how do we split the people up? I'm like, no, it's the 3 of you in the morning, and then there's 8 people. And then the afternoon, there's two
right.
people. But it's so much easier to take care of them. So once you're not worried about them physically, then you really get to engage with them mentally or maybe even spiritually or wherever they're at.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Now, you know, we're in unfortunate times right now where you have this coronavirus prowling about. And, you know, we had an issue with a well-known, very large senior care facility. How do you folks deal with this current situation? And is it truly come on anytime you want, or have you put in additional protocol for safety?
Let's see. We started our COVID policy on March 16th,
right?
2 weeks before
everybody announced
it. Really freaked out. But given that we're really close-knit and we're like a family, mm-hmm. you know, we sat everybody down and I said, look, guys, this is what's going on. And I did all of my research on COVID, and then we decided from that moment on as a team what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we were all going to be shut-ins for the next few months. and I brought my mask with me today. We got Jocelyn's friend actually provided us with these nice masks that we can put a filter in. So it's a little safer out in public. So from there, you know, we set up temperature checks, making sure everybody checked in with me if they weren't feeling good, mm-hmm. so I could run through symptoms with them. And unfortunately, no visitors at that time, which is a challenge. So we had to get people used to FaceTiming with their loved ones, especially for people that have dementia and Alzheimer's. Some of them have a hard time recognizing that, oh, this is a video.
Right, versus a real life conversation.
It was pretty difficult for some of them, so it was an adjustment.
Right.
But
how have your patients with, you know, memory care issues, how have they taken in this whole situation? I mean, are they aware of the pandemic?
The more higher functioning ones, they understand everything that's going on, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're frustrated like everybody else, but the people that are more advanced in their memory care, they didn't really quite understand. But the thing is, because there's more of us there, I told them, I said, you know, they might not understand it, but if you let them know, you know, they're smart individuals. They're well-versed in their ages. I think something in there is going to click. So I told them, just tell them the truth. You know, this is what's going on. This is why they're not here. They would be here if they could, and they love you. They really do. Mm. And repeating that, like,
that assurance.
50 times a day, it was a lot more helpful. Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, I'm curious from your side of things as the caregiver in general. You know, you're walking with these kupuna through their last days, and you must get attached to a lot of these residents, you know. You treat them like your own mom and dad. How do you folks, you know, it must be a difficult thing. How do you deal with that, you know, as staff?
It's so hard because it doesn't take long to get attached at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you spend every day with someone for weeks, even like the shortest people that have been with us for at least a month, and even then it's so difficult, you know, because when things happen, all that you really are thinking is, you know, I got the blessing, the opportunity to meet this person, to learn about their life for however short it was. And then, you know, we always engage with the families too, and we tell them our fun stories because we do have a lot of fun. But, you know, when we remember that part, it makes it a little easier, but it does feel like losing someone that you love too.
Right.
But when it mainly happens, I just remind my caregivers, like, look, we had a lovely opportunity to meet and to take care of someone so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remind the family of that and, you know, grieve. Because it's happening to us too, but while the family's here, we're here for them.
Right.
And then
that's true.
when they're gone, then we can talk about it together. Because sometimes it's so difficult. But
I can imagine.
Yeah. But the people that come into our home, you know, we're mainly focused on them, but it also comes in taking care of the family that comes too. I mean, we've talked to a lot of family members, and some for hours, because, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's is not an easy thing to go through.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes people are more comforted just by talking and learning that more about it and things like that. That's also why we encourage families not to pursue, you know, to pursue, you can pursue all your options, but think about, you know, what's the best quality of life or whatever your loved one would have wanted, which is why we also work with hospice, which is a great thing because I think it, when we do hospice care, it preps the families, but it also helps our caregivers and ourselves. I've had a few people tell me that they really enjoyed their hospice experience because they haven't had it anywhere else except for when we worked with them. And they said, you know, when they came in, you know, it didn't really seem that important at the time. But now that they're gone, I think it kind of helped me realize that they wouldn't be with us.
And that's coming from a family member?
Oh, that's coming from my caregiver.
Oh, from
well, actually,
caregiver.
I've heard it. I've heard it from a few family members because some of them were totally freaked out when it came to hospice care.
Right.
I said, no, you know, hospice care isn't giving up. It's not giving in. It's not anything. It's instead of sending this person to the doctor however many times a week it would have been or going in for that surgery, it's getting ready for end of life and making sure they get to do whatever they want. If they don't feel like eating, if they don't feel like getting out of bed, that's fine. But they still got us, and now they have extra faces coming in to see them. Hospice offers a wide variety of services, but it's awesome. And it preps them for what's going on. And one family member that was really freaked out by hospice care, after maybe like the first few weeks, they're like, wow, this is really cool. And then, you know, when things would happen, they would have extra people to comfort them is, you know, we're all saying the same things because we've been through it, but it's their first time.
I think it's nice that, you know, you get to be, you know, an extra voice of support, that helps a family member almost coach them through that time, knowing that you're also so closely involved with their loved one, you know, that really does help.
Thanks. It's a difficult at times, but it's definitely what makes doing what we do worthwhile.
Right. You know, if somebody wanted to hear more about Hale Nohea, your services, I mean, even your approach to caregiving, which I think is wonderful, how can they do that?
So they can go on to our website at www.halenohea.com. Or if they have questions for us, they can just email us at info@halenohea.com.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Amy and Jocelyn, for being on our show. And thanks for serving your kupuna so well.
Thanks.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them. clientservice@choicehi.com.
Have you ever been worried leaving your loved one alone? Whether it be illness, a fall, or just personal safety, the Electronic Caregiver Mobile Medical Alert System with GPS technology will give you that peace of mind. With the simple press of a button, an on-call staff member will be able to locate you and provide expedited help by alerting family or emergency medical services. To learn more about the Electronic Caregiver, call Priscilla Wong at 954-0820 and mention Kupuna Wiki to receive a free gift.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back, and we now have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia, sponsored by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
The Aloha shirt was first advertised in 1935 and sold in what store?
If for a chance to win a Long's gift card. Be the first person to call us to the correct answer at 808-792-5188. And remember, if you want to hear a prior episode of Kupuna Wiki Radio, or you want to take a look at our list of very helpful service providers, please go to kupunawiki.com. Or if you just have a question for us, call us at 808-792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment's sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you back next time on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki Radio Program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.